exclusive to Jacaranda FM. It's The Drive with Rob and Roz. Jacaranda FM.
We're chatting to Foster Mohale, who's the national spokesperson for the Department of Health on The Drive with Rob and Roz. Mr. Mohale, welcome to the show this afternoon.
Thank you for this opportunity and greetings to Jacaranda listeners, and thanks once more for this opportunity.
And it's an absolute pleasure, sir. Obviously, the news broke yesterday that the NHI bill is now going to Parliament to be signed off on and become law and so on. And everyone has a lot to say. I see opposition parties have spoken up, Business Leadership South Africa, lots of private companies and so on. Can I just ask, basically, in your mind, explain to us, what is the goal of this legislation? What is it trying to do for everyone?
Simply, the objective of this legislation is to level the playing field between the haves and the have-nots in terms of access to quality and affordable healthcare service in the country. As you know, that currently, as we speak, the country, the country has got two-tier system: the private, which is servicing about 14% of the population, majority of them who are medically insured, and 86% of the population is serviced by the public. And the public and the government, on top of that, they even subsidized those who are on medical aid. So we are trying to play the, close the gap between the haves and the have-nots, because all people who have got different views, different opinions about this bill, but they believe, and they also believe that it's very important for people to have equal access. As you know, that one of our mission of the department is to achieve a long and healthy life for all South Africans, underline the word for all, not for few. And for us to achieve that, it means we need to ensure that those who are not employed, those who are staying in rural areas, those who are old, who cannot afford quality health service at the primary, at the public, private sector, will still need to achieve a long and healthy lifestyle. So this is what we are trying to do. Maybe just to give an example, just remember previously, before we had an NSFAS, when it was still called the TESA.
Yeah.
NSFAS. Yes, and you know what led to today we've got the free higher education, if you remember the role that was played by Fees Must Fall movement.
Yes.
After that, so today people can go to institution of higher learning of their choice as long as they academically achieve, they meet the requirements. So,
got you.
Previously, people will not, there are certain institutions that people will find it difficult to get enrolled. We talk of institutions like your Stellenbosch, your UCT, your RAU currently, recently called UJ, your Porch, and all other institutions. So, you know that for people to go there, they were very expensive. Therefore, it made it difficult for people from a poor rural village in Limpopo, where I come from, to say, I want to study. So it was just a pipe dream for one to say, I want to study at UCT, precisely because it was very expensive. Only the children of those who are well off could access a better quality education. Like those. So you are trying to ensure that when we deal with people, just like we had during the time of COVID, has had no boundaries, has no discrimination. Just like in other diseases, they don't have boundaries, they don't have discrimination. If me and you, we suffer from the same condition or disease, why can't we get the same quality healthcare instead of me? We are going there, compromise quality healthcare precisely because of my socio-economic status.
Yeah.
Foster, I just want to ask about the public healthcare system's capacity to then adopt the people who are not using public healthcare into that system in terms of addressing healthcare concerns, and just what is the public healthcare system able to deal with the capacity going forward with the NHI?
No, yeah, it's definitely going to do so. It means you're going to reduce the current challenges that we're experiencing, because now they're always flooded by so many people, both local citizens. and foreign nationals, as you know, that we don't have the right to turn anyone back who seeks medical attention or healthcare service in the country. But also, what we are saying is that we are not just saying people from rural areas, the unemployed, the old, and the young, will access health services at this private health sector free of charge. The government says we are going to pay, so please accept our clients will be able to pay. And also even those who are working with the medical aids, some of them, they don't last for the entire year. They run out of benefits. Once they run out of benefits, where do they go? They go to public sector. So meaning that the public sector end up even assisting even those who are medically insured. So because once a medical aid is run out in terms of benefits, where do you go? They will transfer you to private to public sector, meaning that the government, why can't we just say, all of us, let's have got the equal access to same quality healthcare service in the country, regardless of where we come from, regardless of our financial muscles.
Absolutely. And look, I completely agree 100% with the sentiment that everyone in South Africa, everyone deserves the best quality healthcare we can possibly get. And I think it's a noble aim. And I think it's one that, you know, is important for the healthcare and the dignity and the lifestyles and so on of all South Africans. What I wanted to know is this bill sort of, it seems to create a fund that'll be used to cover the majority of medical treatments. Is there the idea that if the state takes control of this and if you have the NHI, that you'll be able to procure services and treatments and so on more cheaply than is currently done? Is this a money-saving thing?
No, definitely, because you know that even in terms of economics, that the more you buy in bulk, the more you make a lot of savings, unlike when you buy through individual items. So the government here will become the chief buyer, will be able to buy for everyone, regardless of their economic and socioeconomic status, regardless of the financial muscles, in order to ensure. And buying the savings also include allowing the ordinary people from rural villages, from townships, from informal settlement, to go and access services from private health hospitals, even the GPs. In fact, these guys are going to make a lot of money, because some of the sectors, like your general practitioners or specialists, they don't see so many clients per day. So now with this, because now anyone can choose to go anywhere, now they're going to make a lot of money. So I know they see it in it with a different eye, but to us, we believe that this is going to empower even all this private healthcare sector.
So one of the questions we had and one of the statements that was made was regarding limitations that will be placed on private sector medical aids in terms of what they can cover, and then they would be allowed to cover as a private service things that weren't covered under the NHI. Do we have any sort of idea? Have there been any conversations yet around which groups of treatments, which things will be provided only by the NHI and which will be provided elsewhere? And then second part to that question, a lot of the feedback that we've had, not just from our listeners, but that I've seen in the media and I've seen people talking about on social media and so on, relates to how that decision gets made about if somebody wants a private treatment but they're not allowed to have it. How does it make sense to say to someone that they can't do something private? Do you understand what I mean?
No, definitely. You know, what we are saying, we talk about your extras. For example, if you want to, we say here you can qualify for this service. Maybe you want to change your teeth, to put your golden teeth on your teeth. So some of those extras, the major ones will be covered. So the medical aid will be up to them to say they still want to cover it. But otherwise, it's going to be redundant. It's going to be double dipping for the medical aid and also going to save the money from the employers, because they do contribute into this medical aid portion of the medical aid for their employees. So it's also going to assist them. So, but you can imagine if you get insured you buy a car, a brand new car, they say this car, part of the package, it comes with an insurance. You get insurance part of the car, so now you have to go to another private insurer. They come to you, say, please, want to insure you. Do you think it's It's not going to make sense if you're already insured, but someone said, no, I want to give you another insurance. So, but of course, we are going to the conversation, the discussions with the medical aid scheme, still going to continue on quickly, which ones can we cover, which ones, because the intention is not to collapse the medical aid schemes, because we still want them to continue running their business, but also we need to think for the majority of South Africans, not for the few.
Got you. Very important question. How are we going to fund this?
Obviously, the government is going to fund this. So we're also trying to discuss with National Treasury on how can we fund this. Either we have to include, introduce a health tax, taxing all those, all of us who are working, in order to fund those who are not working. Because we say the old must fund the young must fund the old, the rich must fund the poor. The urban, those who are working well, stay in the urban areas, must fund those who are staying in the rural areas, because I'm from village, I'm staying in the suburb, but it's not easy to include my parents, my sisters in my medical, because it's very expensive. So if the government wants to say, please, wants to ensure that me and my old mother, who's a pensioner, can still receive the same quality health care, why can't we do that?
So obviously there's going to be, and I mean, since the announcement yesterday, there has been a lot of backlash and a lot of kind of people that are contrary to the same opinion as that the NHI is actually the way forward. How does the government plan to deal with that kind of backlash?
We are used to this backlash, but some of them, they're politically motivated because, as you know, that the political parties will always, when you go south, they go north, even if they agree with you in principles. For example, majority of these parties that they voted against this, most of their members are black, people who are not working, so that the few now are deciding for the majority, so they don't even think for their own members who are not working, who are staying there. Well, yeah, So that surprised us yesterday when they were voting, saying, yes, we understand that we are playing politics, but sometimes also we need to think for others. We must not only think for ourselves where we are now. Otherwise, this is going to lead into unrest and let unrest.
And then last point, Foster, that I wanted to just pose to you and get your thoughts on. The CEO of Business Leadership South Africa, Busisiwe Mavuso, came out and said recently that effectively, you know, if we get into a similar situation like Eskom, for example, if the NHI isn't able to provide the care, but it feels like we're being told the private sector won't be allowed to provide that care, that leaves people feeling very nervous that I can't get a service from the only place that's allowed to give it to me, and I can't get it privately. How would you speak to people who have that fear and say, listen, you don't need to worry, this is going to be okay? Because that's a big convincing job.
Yeah, no, you see, people have got the right to choose, use their own examples that will suit their narrative. They will give examples of SABC or Eskom, but on our side, we are giving examples of Treasury, we give examples of NSFAS, we give example of SASA. Have you ever had a situation where they say NSFAS was unable to pay for, it's rare where they say they're unable to pay for the students. It's rare where they say SARS is unable to collect revenue. So I know people, they've got the right to choose the examples that will suit the narrative. But we say, as government, we have learned a lot of lessons from the best, like your NSFAS, your SARS, your SASA. So we are going to use the same model that SASA, SARS, and NSFAS have used. So we're not going to use the models of institutions that have failed or almost collapsed.
All right, perfect.
Foster, thank you so much for joining us on The Drive with Robin Ross. You've answered quite a few of our questions. We really appreciate your time.
Thanks very much for the time you've given us as the department. Always feel free. We'll always try to be available in order to clarify these issues.
Absolutely a pleasure. Foster Mohale, thank you so much, sir. Have a lovely afternoon.
Exclusive to Jacaranda FM, it's The Drive with Rob and Roz. Jacaranda FM.